Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and community, and you can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter. I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitU, NLEN, or Opportunities for Working Families. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_U. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account, and you can find a link to open the account on the episode page. You can also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark, and the call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. Again, that number is 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Creating Opportunities for Working Families. We will discuss NLEN's Financial Opportunity Center, the resources they have to offer, and how you can take advantage of the programs. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chats at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals, educators, and community stakeholders are especially encouraged to call in and share your stories. Our guest for today is O.S. Owen. OS is an inspiring trainer and motivator with diverse work experience focused on community empowerment, training, and financial coaching and counseling that's certified through the Center for Financial Social Work. You'll find the full bio for OS and the link to the NLEN Financial Opportunity Center on my blog, Nonprofit U, under episode 37, Creating Opportunities for Working Families. Go to valeriefleonard.com/nonprofitU and click onto the episodes page. Thanks so much for being on the show today, OS. It's indeed an honor to have you. Can you tell us about NLEN, its Financial Opportunity Center, and how you came to work for them?
You are such a kind and gracious lady, Valerie. Thank you so much for providing me this opportunity to share some information about the North Lawndale Employment Network. And I want to say to you to continue to do the work that you and be who you be. You are such a blessing to all of us in the community, especially in the nonprofit industry. We look to you for upcoming changes and for professional liabilities and things. So thank you so much for doing what you do and being who you be.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And you know what, before we get started, I just want to acknowledge, too, our regular guest in the chat room. We've got Marcus Tapp Sr. I don't know if you know him, but he lives in your community, and he's also a pastor on the north side. And, you know, from time to time, he likes to join us, you know, just to hear what's going on in the nonprofit arena and use some of the information in his ministry. So we just want to say hello to Reverend Marcus Tapp Sr. And without further ado, I'll let you answer the question, OS.
The North Lawndale Employment Network is an outstanding organization that serves citizens that are reentering and those that are not. The flagship program is the U-Turn Permitted. We're serving individuals who are formerly incarcerated, who are coming out, who are reentering, and who need an opportunity to get back on track. And we like to refer it as a misstep. Those have had a misstep in life, and we've all had missteps, and we all need the support of each and every one of us to continue our journey on this course. And then we have the U-Turn Express program for those individuals who are not incarcerated, who did not have a record, however, who still had a misstep in another direction. You know, the Financial Opportunity Center is here to help, encourage, and serve individuals around their financing. We will pull a credit report and review that line by line. A lot of times things happen to our credit that we have no idea, especially when we've been on holiday and we've ignored this thing. And then part of that is identity theft. We will also talk about mm-hmm. a spending plan. Spending your money is important, and sometimes folks who are unemployed believe they don't have to have a spending plan. Everyone has a spending plan. And what we've done more without money than most people do with money. And I'm a firm believer that the way you spend your money is exactly how you spend your time, that money and time are both spent the same way. We can always make more money. However, no one can make more time. And how are we spending our time? And we spend our time in so many various ways that money is just a small part of that. And part of my personal mission is to help folks understand that their time is more valuable than the money.
And how did you come to work for NLEN?
I have been a friend of NLEN for the last 15 years, since its inception. I've worked with them as a partner to other organizations. The major one was the Center for Economic Progress. The one where you and I work together was the Staines Family mm-hmm. Foundation. I support that mission, and now I had an opportunity to join the staff. And it's been a wonderful experience. I'm happy. I'm honored. I'm privileged to be able to be a part of the community and work in the capacity to serve the folks in that program, to serve the folks of that community.
Yes, yes, yes. And we are so happy to have you. You have indeed been a one-person blessing, you know, that's made the community better. So thanks for that. And you know what? I was reading the Heartland Alliance. They published a report, The Game of Credit, and they described how the inappropriate use of credit, not so much the use of credit, but the inappropriate use of credit actually compounds the wealth gap between the races. So I guess my question to you is, what are some of the rules of the credit game, and how do you play to win?
Well, you know, Valerie, it's very expensive to be poor. You pay a price, you pay a premium for everything. You know, back in the days when Black folks were not offered credit, and credit was something that was only available to other ethnic groups and backgrounds, where my grandfather bought his house with cash because credit wasn't available. And these other groups got instructions on how to use credit. And then when, I guess, the world realized that Black folks have a lot of money, that Black folks contribute to the economy in such a way, they said, hey, let's extend credit to this group as well. However, we didn't get the instructions. We didn't get the playbook, the rules on how this works. And as a result, well, we were left to our own devices. He said, she said, this is what you ought to do. And here we are in a nutshell. You know, credit is used for specific purpose and need. It's not used for let's go get some gas, let's go buy some food. It was designed to make large purchases over a period of time. It was designed to be used in an emergency. And depending on your background, we can define what an emergency is. And it was also, when you go abroad in foreign countries, it was used to allow so that you would get an even exchange for your money. You know, and credit has since then has transcends all lines, all ethnic backgrounds, all races and all religions. And everything that we do now is based on credit. You can't rent a house, you can't rent an apartment, you can't buy a house, you can't buy a car, you can't get a cell phone without having credit. Credit is not just amongst the financial world. Credit is also amongst the community. You go next door to your neighbor and you want to borrow a cup of sugar. Well, if you didn't bring another cup back, then you don't have any credit. You know, credit has to be cultured. It has to be cared for. You have to pay attention to it. I just get so upset when I see certain ads and articles saying, if you got bad credit, come over here. We'll service you. Well, there's no reason to have bad credit. You know, it's just like having a bad child. There's no reason to have a bad child. If you ignore that child is left its own devices. If you ignore your credit, it's going to do things that you can't begin to imagine. And later on in life, that's where the impact comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so in our community, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was just trying to get a sense for if there were some golden rules that you can share with us, you know, golden rules of credit, so to speak. What might some of those rules be?
The big one that I talk about all the time, if you have a credit card, and this credit card has a limit of $1,000, all right, you know, you really shouldn't go beyond 30% of that $1,000. And once you go beyond 50% of that $1,000, it begins to have a negative impact on your credit score. And once you begin to max out this card, meaning that now you have a $1,000 limit and you've charged up $1,000 and you can no longer use this card, then that damage is done. And in our community, and our folks who are out of work, who are using credit cards to kind of get by, we max these things out, then we can't use them, and then we can't pay on them, and now that's being reported to the bureau, and our scores are dropping. So the rule of thumb is stay below 30% of your credit balance. And if all possible, don't go beyond 50. That's my biggest golden rule.
And I think, too, you see a lot of people who are using credit cards to finance, you know, day-to-day things. You know, typically, you know, I think what you touched on is, you know, credit is really for something that's long-term, you know, something like a house or a car, you know, something that's going to take you a little bit of time to pay. But sometimes we use credit cards for things that we should be paying for, you know, on a day-to-day basis. It shouldn't be something we have to go into debt for, you know.
There's a strategy with the credit cards. You know, for example, some credit cards give you points. The more you use it, the more points you get. So let's say I got one of those credit cards and I go grocery shopping. I buy my gas. I use everything that I want to buy. I'm using that credit card. However, when the bill comes, I pay it off in full. So now I'm getting the value of the card with the points. I'm building up my credit, yet I'm not going into debt because I have the cash. See, the thing with credit, you don't use it, it doesn't report. So you charge, pay, charge, pay, charge, pay, or pay, 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 and no charge. In order to have a credit score, you have to use it. You have to manage it. And depending on the type of credit, you know, and depending on who's lending the credit, it has a different score. So, I mean, the best rule of practices is that, let's say I spend $300 a month on gas, and I'll use my credit card. When the bill comes, I pay the $300. That's great. That's ideal. However, you have to have the discipline in order to do that. And we will either pay the pain of regret or the pain of discipline, you know, one way or the other. And unfortunately, you know, it's not something that's drilled in us at school. Whatever our parents didn't know about credit, neither will we. And whatever we don't know about credit, neither will our children. So it's time for us to take a real good look and understand how credit is used, how it has been used to our detriment, and how it can be used to uplift us out of poverty and move forward. Having a relationship with the financial institution means, you know, they're going to help you to develop and maintain your good credit. It's life's events, and it takes a lot of discipline. And I see a lot of folks who want to have and maintain that good credit. They just don't have the discipline to say, well, you know what, I can't buy this now. Let me save up the money and then buy it, or let me save up half of it, go into the store, use my credit, then pay on it and pay down on it. So there's a lot of ways. You got to find a strategy that works for you in order to kind of get the best mileage out of everything.
Right. So what I'm hearing from you is there's two parts to the equation when we look at credit. One is really your character, because credit is really a description of whether or not you can be trusted to repay, you know, to honor your obligations. And then it sounds like it's a matter of discipline. Too much of a good thing is not always good. Everything in moderation, I'm hearing. And then that brings me to another point. You know, this game of credit report, NLEN, which is where you work, they were named as an organization that is actually dealing effectively with credit. And you're working with some of the people who figure in our society as some of the more difficult, some of the most difficult segments. So can you tell us more about, you know, the programs that you have in place and give us some of your outcomes and success stories?
Well, let me say this, start by saying this, that, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, it goes to character. When we sign that contract, when we agree to those terms, we say that we will pay this whether we lose our jobs or not, whether we live or die, whether we live in this house or that house. We have given our word. And the only thing of any value that we all have at the end of the day is our word. And when our word can't be honored, then, you know, we have to make ourselves accountable in order to rectify that. And it is a reflection of our personal integrity. In our community, we've been challenged with it because for so many times, we were denied access to credit and top-notch financial products and services. You know, they weren't available to us, and we were forced to use payday lenders. And payday lenders take advantage of those individuals who cannot get access to premium or top-quality products. And if you don't know how these products work, then you put yourself in a very bad position. During the economic downturn, you know, when mom loses her job and she's been taught to have emergency savings, you save money up. We talk about paying yourself first. One of the things we talked about in the Financial Opportunity Center is that if you make $100, then you should pay yourself first. And that paying yourself first is like your tithing. Your 10% just goes over here because at some point in time, you're going to need this money. There's only three things that we can actually do with money. Spend it, we can save it, and we give it away. We spend it because we have to cover our expenses. We have to feed our families. We have to nourish our community. We save it so we can spend it. We have to save it up to invest. We have to save it up in order to give it away and then tie it to our churches. So understanding the value of this is one of the things that we instill in our folks in the North Lawndale program through the Financial Opportunity Center. You know, those folks who are reentering, who didn't get the opportunity to sit down with someone to review a spending plan, to identify what is it costing me a day, you know, which means what is it costing me a week. We have families in our communities that have worked 25, 30, and 40 years, and some of these seniors have money and some of these seniors don't. How can you work a job 30, 40, and 50 years and be broke? Not because you were intending to be. It's not because we plan to fail. We just fail to plan. You know, having a spending plan in place, identifying where the money goes, that's one of the key foundations in building credit. Your money and your time are both spent the same way. How are you spending your time? You know, sitting down, reviewing your expenses, sitting down with your financial individual, whether it's at the bank or whether it's your tax preparer, and just understanding the basic terminology of your own personal financial economics. We are dealing with economic violence every day. Taxes are high, inflation, these things we have nothing to do with. And as your income increases or decreases, the cost of living is constantly increasing, keeping up with inflation. So we're bombarded. You know, we're bombarded by the enemies, the folks who are taking our money, and this is the taxes, the inflation, the consumer debt. You know, our TVs are advertising buy, 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 buy. We're not saying save, save, save. It's not how much you make. It's what you do with what you have.
Right, right. And can you hold on just a moment? I just want to let folks know that you're listening to Nonprofit U, and O.S. Owen is our guest. We'll take questions from our callers in chat room in about a minute or so. Our number is 347-884-8121. Again, this is O.S. Owen with North Lawndale Employment Network. If you have any questions, you can write them in the chat room or you can call in. That number is 347-884-8121. Okay, great. So if I were in your program, and I was coming through. One, how do I get into your program, and can you describe what will I experience when I go through your program from start to finish?
Well, our flagship program, which is the U-Turn Permitted, where returning citizens where enter a four-week programming on the side of soft skills, resume building, character building, feeling good about yourself, understanding, you know, where you are and how to move forward. And then once that process is completed, then they'll come over to the Financial Opportunity Center. And this is where we want to spend some time in reviewing the financials, sitting down and saying, let's pull this credit report and identify any inaccuracies that may be on there, any errors that may be on there. For if you don't do this, who will? No one in the world is going to pull your credit report and say, oh, you have an error here. Everyone is entitled to a free report once a year from all three major credit bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. Here in the Midwest, TransUnion is the major report that we use, and that's the one that we pull, and we sit down with our participants one by one and go through line by line through this credit bureau. And then once we identify what's inaccurate versus accurate, we look at the point, how do we rebuild or restart or even get credit? You know, that's one of our primary focuses, is to get folks in the financial mainstream. One of the best ways to kind of start credit is one of the programs that we have and we offer is called the Twin Accounts. You know, this program will allow you to build your credit score without having the liability of a loan. It acts like a loan, you pay on it like a loan. However, it's actually a savings account, and the money that you pay in monthly is held for you, and it reports to the bureau as an on-time payment or a late payment. It can do that as well. However, this is a great opportunity for individuals to kind of enter the financial mainstream. Then at this point, we want to sit down and, yeah, I don't have any money, I don't work. However, you have expenses, certain things that you're buying, whether it's a cell phone, cigarettes, you're washing your clothes, you're buying a cup of coffee. Everyone has money. You know, your big mama gives you money, your dad gives you money, your neighbors give you money. How are you utilizing these finances? You know, we want to sit down with our folks to identify the resources that are coming in order to move forward. I mean, now you're looking for work. How do I get to work? How do I provide transportation? Do I need to have a uniform? Do I need to buy clothes? So we provide resources such as transportation, such as clothing vouchers, to help folks get back into the financial mainstream. Now, once they can meet with the Financial Opportunity Center, now they're eligible to go into the employment pool, where the other side of the organization will identify possible employment opportunities. We feel that our participants are the best of the best because now they're well-rounded, they've gone through anger management, they've gone through a phenomenal resume building, and now they have a very good look of their financial aspects. When you feel good about your money, you feel good about yourself. I mean, don't we judge ourselves by what's in our pocket? Don't we judge ourselves by what's on our credit card? And that's just a short time in space of where we are. It's not who we are. It just identifies that I've had a misstep and I'm in halftime now. I'm rethinking, I'm recalibrating, I'm refocusing. And we act as that coach. And we want to cheer our folks on. We want to help them guide and deliver a plan. And we want to hold them accountable to that plan as they move forward.
Okay. Now, what's the difference? You know, for me personally, I always use the word financial coach or the term financial coach interchangeably with financial counselor. And I can remember, you know, at some point you and I were talking and you said, no, they're not the same. So would you care to share with our listening audience what the difference between coaching and counseling might be?
Financial counseling is dealing with the actual numbers, you know, your net income, your net worth, your overall debt, you know, creating a plan to resolve that. However, financial coaching is dealing with the emotions behind these numbers, how we feel, how you feel. And financial coaching allows the individual to say, you know what, I'm thinking of this. How does this work? As opposed to financial coaching, I'm being told this is what I should do. So when you're coaching, it's a partnership. and the client gets a chance to interject and say, well, this is how I feel. I feel bad about this. I want to change some things. And then we figure out, okay, how do you want to proceed? You know, financial counseling is dealing with the numbers. This is what you need to do. How are you going to do it? We don't know. And financial coaching gives our participants a viable way of being included. No one wants to be told what to do. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And when we come up with the answers ourselves after thinking about it and looking at the options, there's greater buy-in, there's greater input, and we're more likely to do it because it came from us than somebody else telling us what to do. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It makes a whole lot of sense. And I just want to remind people that we're speaking with O.S. Owen on Nonprofit U, and O.S. is sharing with us some strategies for working through issues, financial issues, to repair credit and get back into the financial mainstream. If you have any questions, our call-in number, yes, sir?
I got to stop you. You're right. You said a taboo word.
You said repair credit.
May I take one moment? Okay.
Credit cannot
be repaired.
Thank you.
It cannot be repaired. Credit is not broken. It can be restored. It can be resurrected. It can be resolved, but it cannot be repaired. If someone says, I want to repair your credit, you run as fast as you can. Most people
can
challenge issues on their own credit report, and they don't need to pay anybody to do it. See, when you dispute issues on your credit report, there's a strategy that should be taken in place. And the strategy is to identify those things that are inaccurate as opposed to right or wrong. And a lot of times these credit repair mills will say, hey, we can repair your credit for X amount of dollars. What they're actually doing is disputing everything on that report. When an issue is in dispute, it comes off that report for a period of 30 to 45 days where it doesn't show up on the credit. Then folks run in and buy the car, run in and do this. And then for now, you've bought the car, and this debt still comes back on. And you paid all this money for this window of opportunity to get in a further debt. Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how that just upsets me when people do that. And what I say is stop, let's pull the report, let's identify those things that are inaccurate yourself, and we'll guide you through the process, and you can get them off and keep your money. Now that I've gotten out of my system, I'm sorry. Oh, God. But just that term credit repair.
Well, you know what? I'm glad I made that mistake. You know, and thank you so much for correcting me. I know I learned something. I'm sure our listening audience members have learned something. And we've got all of 3 minutes. I want to open it up for questions from our audience. And if there are no questions, then I want to give you an opportunity to close out and let folks know how they can contact you. So our call.
You don't have any more time?
We got all of 2 minutes. This is a half-hour show, and you have just cut our heads open and poured all kinds of knowledge in. So our number is 347-884-8121. And so in closing, you know, you want to share, I guess, some of the lessons that you have learned and then give us a phone number or email address where people can reach you. That would be awesome.
Well, I can say this, that we must remember it is not what happens to us. It is how we respond that determines the quality of our life. All of us are blown by the winds of circumstances, yet we end up in different directions. It's our personal philosophy that gets us through. I encourage everyone to take at least 20 minutes a week and sit down and with your family and identify your spending habits and your spending plans. Where is the money going? Where does it need to go? Everyone in the household should have a say-so, or at least be aware of where the money's going, where the buy-in is needed. As we build credit individually, we build it with our families. We're buying homes. We're buying businesses. This is a family affair. Credit and money
And one of the biggest mistakes that people make, not just our people, but people in general make, that it's not my money, it's household income. Whatever you make, it goes to the household. If the wife works and the dad's at home, that's household income. If the dad works and the wife's at home, that's household income. And we must understand that. That's money for the household, and somebody has to manage that. See, our households are run like small businesses. We are the CEO, and the CEO manages the overall business. We are the CFO. We determine what's coming in, and more important, we determine who does not get paid, because we all don't have enough money to pay everybody. So somebody's not going to get paid this week. How do we figure this out?
Well, thank you. And on that note, we have run out of time. Can you share with the audience how we can reach you? Because this is, you know, a lovely discussion.
773-638-1825.
And that's the North Lawndale Employment Network. Is that correct?
Yes, and that's correct. And www.nlen.org is our website. And you can get further information and details about the programs that we offer there and how we can be of assistance to you in your situation.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. I know I have learned a lot, and I want to thank our listening audience for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show today. The show will be available for download within about an hour, and I want you guys to be sure and tune in next week when we will have guests from the Law Project. And I'm looking forward to another lively discussion. Again, OS, thank you so much for being a guest. You have shared a whole lot of really good stuff. I hope to have you back.
Thank you, Valerie, for the opportunity, and hopefully I've been able to share something with your audience.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, you take care now.
All right, good day.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.